Welcome to Truvine Talks with Rachel and Linda. Happy New Year!
Yeah, 2025. Here we go.
We're here. So we're ringing in the new year. We're talking about, our experiences with self-disclosure during the pandemic. We did some podcasts. We did a lot of podcasts during Rona, didn't we, Rachel?
Oh, yeah.
So you can always go back and click on those. It's in iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, right? Like
Yes.
those avenues. So we're going to talk about, we just decided today, we're going to talk about nutrition, but we'll do that another time when we can have a specialist come on. We're going to talk about self-disclosure from your therapist and our experience of that and when it's appropriate and when it's not, those types of things. So how is it for you, Rachel, when a client asks you a personal question?
Yeah. Well, just for starters, that is what we mean by self-disclosure for anyone that isn't familiar with that term. Like in therapy, it's typically all about the client, and the therapist does not self-disclose. They don't share anything about their own personal life or their own personal feelings. So we'll be talking today about when we personally kind of find that appropriate and helpful, and how we go about doing that. So for me, I think when I first started out, brand new, fresh baby therapist, it was very uncomfortable and hard for me because you kind of get told in grad school as you're getting your master's degree, never do this,
Never.
right? Big red X, danger zone.
Yes.
They scare you about it. You're like, oh. Right. They tell you how unethical it is and how unprofessional it is. Yeah. And I think they're referring to over disclosure, like turning the session about you and using your client as your own therapist, which would absolutely never be appropriate, right? You're like, oh, I've just been having a horrible week. Listen to what happened to me. Can you believe? My mom did X, Y, and Z. Like, that would not be okay.
I've had folks be like, so how's your week been? I'm like, that's so polite. The inclination is
Yes,
to be
so
polite.
nice. Yeah,
Like,
that's like such a social norm, you know? Yeah, so I understand why so many people do it.
I've had people ask me direct questions if I'm working with a couple and we do a breakout session and the person's like, so would you stay with your husband if he cheated? I'm like, there going,
It's hard
oh,
to answer, you
you're like,
know?
you caught off guard. It's kind of like,
Yeah.
what? Let's make this about you. I think I always redirect it. I'm like, but if I, if I'm really honest, I don't know. I don't know.
Right.
You
Yeah.
know, I would tackle that if it ever showed up.
Right. That's kind of how I approach that question anytime I get it. I say, you know, I totally understand you wanting to poll, people in your life for
Oh, yeah.
answers. That's so normal. I do that too when I'm in a dilemma, and my honest answer to that is I do not know. It would be based on the circumstances in that moment.
Yeah, exactly. And I tell folks, I'm like, I'm in my own couples therapy. I've been in couples therapy, Charlie and I, for maybe 5 to 6 years, and she's amazing. We met her through the Hold Me Tight workshop. I'll tell folks that, and they're like, you all been together since you're 19? Yeah, and I'm 45. So what? So
Yeah.
what? We all bring shit to the table. And if I'm honest, it's not easy. And
Oh,
so,
no.
And then they look
That
at you, they're
is true.
like, oh, okay. The therapist gets therapy. Well, I like this. You know, the norm would be that somehow we're up on a mountain, like, you know, Jesus, which I do encourage people to go to the mountain, like Jesus or Buddha, just, you know, go out there and meditate. However, we're not sitting on a mountain. Rachel and I aren't sitting on a mountain somewhere receiving wisdom. We're doing our daily life.
Yeah, we're not like no therapist, I don't think is like this perfect human individual with all the answers that copes with everything gracefully and is just like, you know, just has it all together all the time, never gets their feathers ruffled. Like I don't where we have messy moments as well. We are human.
We are human and it can get messy. And
Yeah.
not every area of my life is in order.
Sure.
You
Wouldn't
know?
expect it from anyone,
Right.
regardless of your career. Yeah.
Yeah, I was just thinking about how much emphasis we put on pastors in the churches and on the priest and just how much emphasis there is on their life being perfection. I'm like, that's a hard expectation for
Yeah.
leaders, you know, in the realm of religion or in our realm as academia. I remember I told you this, Rachel, I think years ago when I was supervising you. I was told by a supervisor, she looked at me and she said, you can't be caught at a bar downtown doing anything because you have a higher standard to live by than other people. And I was like, well, first off, I don't really go to bars. That was the first thing. So, but then secondly, it's like, so you're telling me my humanity, my ability to go and have a little fun if I wanted to, whatever that looks like, is to be squelched. Is that the right word? Squelched? Is that a
Yeah.
word? Or quenched? Or I don't know. Y'all have to give me
Yeah,
the.
both are appropriate. Yeah. Yeah. I'm thinking of an article like kind of bouncing off of that that I read about and it was like, you know, like a young therapist that was like, you know, trying to find someone. She was on the dating apps and like one of her clients saw her on there. And like brought it up in sessions. So like there's just certain things like as you're living your life, you know.
Yeah. And there's no rule that a therapist can't be on a dating app when she's
Why is
single.
she just supposed to like not meet someone? Just
Right? Yeah. So the not like back to the self-disclosure kind of our topic today is pretending that we don't have daily life, daily struggles is masking, and that's not genuine or authentic. Yeah. What do we mean by masking? I know the term comes up a lot in the reels and TikTok and
Yeah, thanks for asking that question and bringing it up. Masking is kind of, you know, like imagine wearing a mask that has like a smile on it, right? And no one knows what's behind it, right? You're intentionally hiding any sadness or anxiety or, you know, emotions, experiences that you're going through in your personal life when you're out and about in public with friends, family, coworkers. Is that how you would describe that? Would you use any
Yes.
other language? Okay.
Perfect definition. Like you're walking around displaying imagery on your face that doesn't match your heart.
Right.
And
Yeah.
you know, you can only do that for so long and then you're gonna break and have a meltdown eventually. But as therapists, We want to make the session about our client and clients. It's not about us. So when someone asks a direct question, we're not being rude or withholding information. We're being ethical. We're making it about you. You're paying us. We're not paying you to listen to our problems.
Right. Even if you genuinely care, because I have such great clients and I do believe
Do.
that they when they ask me how I'm doing, I think they genuinely care. Yeah.
And I appreciate that. That's really moves our heart that they care. Yeah. So can I reference the book, Rachel?
Yes, please do. I this has been added to my to-read list. I don't have it yet.
The Myth of Untroubled Therapists by Marie Adams. This is so good. She's talking about the pandemic, which Rachel and I went through the whole pandemic together and did many podcasts about our experiences. And she's talking about in there how when she was in her car doing therapy and her client was in their car doing therapy, how difficult that was. And they would ask her, "So how are you doing since you're not in your office anymore?" And she said, I love what she said. She said, "This was a moment where I could be honest or I could lie." And they tell us not to self-disclose. And she said, "But the whole world was going through this pandemic." I'm gonna turn this thing off. So if you get, I'm gonna turn off this little sweeper in here because I don't sweep. I have a mobile sweeper going. Yeah. And so she said, I'm really struggling. She told her clients, like, I'm really struggling with this pandemic. It's really scary. So she didn't go into detail and just bemoan her problems to her client. She was just real. And she said that helped. She said that kind of moved the clients. Like, thank you for saying that. She said, I'm so grateful that this pandemic isn't just affecting me this way. So she needed to know that her therapist was human. Isn't
Yeah.
that great?
Yeah.
So.
I think it's important because therapy is incredibly vulnerable. It's a space where, as therapists, we are expecting our clients to show up and be honest with us. If they're not, we know that we can't be as helpful as we want to be. And so it's kind of unfair to expect someone to be honest with you if you're not going to be honest with them in return. You know, I kind of think of it as like modeling.
Yeah. So the older, wiser other, and that's the role we take with our clients, right? Is that we're showing them how to manage these things. Like we can be real and honest. And yeah, I like the modeling. Yeah. Yeah.
And I think the way that she did it, right? Like she didn't go on and on and on about all of her woes within the pandemic. She kept it like short, simple, and sweet. I'm really struggling. This is hard. And then I'm sure she probably asked, how is it impacting you? Right? Turned it right back onto her client so that she
Right.
could help them do some work.
Yeah. It's so good, and I love how she describes the whole pandemic. It just, I've almost forgotten how difficult it was. And
Or we just adapted, and this is incredible.
yeah, our brains and the neurowiring, how we could adapt like that. Yeah. And I'm grateful, so grateful for Zoom and the ability to work during COVID. I was so grateful for that because some folks couldn't work.
I think we were all worried about that.
Yeah. So self-disclosure, when it's appropriate and when it's not appropriate, is, when someone asks you, more details about your life than necessary in a session. I think when they're, if they feel, you feel like they're getting intrusive or something, you want to be like, okay, so this is about you, right? It's not about me. I appreciate you caring and your interest in me, but it's about you. You're paying me to be here.
Right. Or if someone's telling a story and it was reminding you of something in your own life, that would be a not appropriate time to disclose. Like, oh, let me tell you about when that happened to me, blah, 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 blah. You might do that with a friend or family member, but that's not, you're not going to do that in therapy as a therapist.
Self of therapist being aware when your client talks about their trauma, how it might trigger your inner child, those parts therapy and the internal family therapy model. Because if someone is sharing, hey, my parent was really mean to me or abusive towards me, that could trigger my inner child experiences. So I have to be mindful, okay, I'm getting into my own stuff here. Let me separate that, put that in a closet, and let me be present with the client. Now, people have asked, how do you set boundaries with a toxic parent? I've been asked that a lot, and it's like, at that point, I'll do a little bit of self-disclosure, but not too much. Like, I grew up with some trauma, and so I did do a period of a boundary of a cutoff with the parent to teach them that I'm not going to be in a toxic bond with them. So I let people know if they ask, so you're saying set boundaries. Do you set boundaries? They want to know if you've done the same thing that you're encouraging them to do, which is human nature. Like, why would you tell me to cut off my parents? Well, every time you go around, they call you a knothead. Knothead being polite, other names,
It's like, I think like them trying to figure out like, do you really practice what you're preaching? You know? Do you really know what you're talking about? Do you have experience with this? It's helpful for me if I'm talking to someone and they have experience with that, and you know, I think most of us like that. Like,
We
hey, this
do.
person's been through it. They really genuinely get it. There's so much power in that, knowing that someone gets it.
Yeah, and it's like what Brené Brown says, it's like there's no shame around your vulnerable experience. Because when you feel shame, you hide. But when you feel like, oh, Rachel's also struggled with, this part of life where the baby's born and motherhood, the early years, I was in the same boat as you. Oh, wow, I feel human to human. I don't feel shame around what I'm feeling. You're experiencing it too.
I love that my therapist is also like a new mom that has been through the same thing in the last couple years.
Beautiful. That's beautiful. I love that. And so that disclosure helps you resonate more with your therapist,
Feel
without
safe.
making it. Yeah, you feel safe. Like it's okay to have struggles.
You want to feel like you're talking to a human being, not some like perfect robot.
I mean,
You
people
know?
make those. They're gonna make AI robots for therapists. Those will be next, but they're not gonna be able to empathize with you. True empathy comes from life experiences, doesn't it, Rachel? And if you're wondering what the term empathy means, Rachel and I have a great definition for empathy.
Oh yeah, the Brené Brown one.
That one. That one too.
Which one were you thinking of?
Just our definition of like being able to be present with someone's experience, and feel and validate that feeling to empathize.
I I like the one Brené Brown uses, like empathy versus sympathy. So you're walking along and there's someone who's like fallen down into a dark pit, and sympathy is, oh, you poor thing, can I get you a sandwich? Right? As you're like looking down into the pit. Empathy is, let me crawl down in there and sit with you until you're ready to come out. Let me just be there with you, you know, in your hurt and pain.
That's what therapists do. What an honor. We get to go down in the hole, sit with you, and be present. We do come back out of the hole, though, the
Yeah.
therapist does. And you feel seen and heard in the hole of depression, anxiety, fear, anger. You feel seen and heard. Like Gabor Mate, is it Gabor Mate talks about? Am I saying his name correctly? I love him.
Gabor Mate? I'm not sure how to say it. That's a
Gabor Mate. There we go. Yeah, I'll have to listen to that, but he is so profound and he talks about that. It's like being seen is the corrective experience for the brain.
yes.
So, and that's what therapists do. And I mean, we just do that. And then we're hoping you feel seen and heard and you come out of the hole feeling better. Yeah, that's our job. Is there any other thoughts or feelings on self-disclosure that we want to share with our listeners about when we're asked these things and how we approach it? I'm talking fast.
I don't know. Well, no, I'm just genuinely trying to think, like, would there be anything else I would want people to know about that? I guess just the, like, you know, if we use self-disclosure, the purpose is to be brief. We're going to
Brief.
be as brief as possible. We're not going to go into excessive detail. Our goal is to be, like, you know, honest and authentic, to model that, and to also, like, you know, we're only gonna do that in moments that we think it's gonna be helpful or beneficial to you. Like, it's still about you when I'm sharing about me, still about you.
Yeah. And validating how hard it must be to say no to a parent you want to love you. And you do, and nothing you do ever changes how they see you or how they treat you. That's hard. When you start saying no, it's empowering. You're like, I am worth it. I am worthy of a parent's love and care, regardless of what I'm doing or not
Yeah.
doing.
Yeah. I keep thinking back to the masking when you shared about that author having a moment where she could mask and lie or be honest. I found myself faced with that a lot when I came back from maternity leave and everyone was like asking, like, oh, you know, like, how was your 3 months off? Right? 'Cause like they hadn't seen me in so long, and I could lie and say, it was fantastic. I had a great time. Or I could be honest, and I did choose to be honest. I told everyone it was really rough at first, but it is getting better. And that was the truth. Yeah.
There you go. And they're like, Rachel struggles. Beautiful, sweet, genuine, awesome, got it together. Rachel struggles. People are like, what?
Yes, when Rachel is sleep deprived and stressed, she does struggle. A lot.
Same here. Sleep deprived. I don't care about
Yeah,
food, but
doesn't
sleep
anyone?
deprivation and time. Oh my goodness, when Grant was little, there was no time. And I'm used to like self-reflection, journaling, talking to God alone. And when he was a baby, there was like, he didn't even, he stopped napping at 2 months or something. So I was like, ah.
Thing you had no time.
And I loved him so much. And our golden retriever helped
Oh,
raise our boy. I saw your Winnie with your
so
baby.
sweet. Yes.
Hummer,
Or just,
raise our boy, our dog.
oh, I love that.
It's so.
Yeah. But change is hard. You know, we talk about that all the time with our clients, and so it's important for them to see that it's hard for us too. We don't just get to like float through change without it, you know, any negative impact just because we're therapists.
Yeah, and we do emphasize self-care. Like at the end of sessions, I'm like, so what are you going to do for your self-care? I'm going to clean my house. I'm like, is that truly self-care? Clean my house. If
For
that's
some
self-care.
people that might be, but for some people that might be torture, you know, and it's okay.
Yeah. So that
Either
awareness.
way.
Yeah. What's going to make you feel good, Rachel, today?
I think some kind of movement is going to make me feel good today. Yeah. Might stretch or something.
Going to stretch.
Yeah.
I don't feel good. And are you, do you have your milk and bread for the winter storm?
Yes, we had our Walmart delivery yesterday. Yeah, that's my self-care. Purchasing myself Walmart Plus subscription to have my groceries delivered so that I don't have to stress about putting a crying baby in the car, figuring out when I have time to go to get groceries. Yeah.
Great self-care. Good for you. Grant would run around the store. I couldn't even. It was chaos.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, when they start walking, it gets even more chaotic. So.
I'm okay. I know. Everyone's like, he's gonna be crawling soon. I'm like, when he's ready, I am not rushing movements. I am not rushing mobility.
No, because
Yeah.
it's hard. We didn't eat
Game, it
out.
was gonna be game over.
Game over. We didn't
Ugh.
eat out. But Charles and I didn't go anywhere with him, like eat out, because he was so hyper. He
So
was
much
so full of
energy, little
energy,
Energizer Bunny.
so sweet, and he just couldn't sit still to eat at a dinner. So
Yeah.
I don't think we've really done too much dinners since
Yeah.
then. But it's all good. It's all good. Yeah. So we like our clients to hear our stuff. And that's why Rachel and I do the podcast too. We want you to see that we're human too, and that you're not alone in this. We're all struggling. We're just do things a little differently to make it better, right? Yeah.
Yeah. We're all adjusting and adapting, just out here trying to be resilient. You know what
Even with the drones flying over our head, you know, or the Birka bags or something like that. That's what we're calling them now. Just, you know, the drones. We're all just trying to, whatever's going on. We're all desensitized at this point. We're just kind of like, well, you know,
All
unless
right.
the alien comes to my door.
Exactly.
All
Yep.
good. So we're just grateful for our listeners, and thank you all for following us and share our podcast with your friends, family on social media. We appreciate you very much. So,
Yes, we
yeah.
do. Yeah. Until next time, everybody take care.
Bye.
Bye.